Hello.
Good morning.
Good
How are
morning.
you?
This is, I'm fine. This is Jamie.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimin Pa Tati. Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudka Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud Kaf is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then return it to the body in its newly recreated where it will again do its job as it was created to do. The letters of the month of Nisan, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, and the Hay that created the constellation Aries, the constellation of the Lamb or the Ram. And in Hebrew it's called Taleh. In Hebrew it's feminine, the Lamb. But many people call it the Ram. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sari Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuva Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunatim Yahid Geah Lamcha We're now going to read the four verses from the Tanakh that connects us to the energy of last year and this year. The verse that connects us to the energy of last year is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leisrael And then the three verses that connect us to this year's energy, the energy of able to see through the illusion to the truth, where Hashem is concealing himself behind the angel of death, indicating that the angel of death is illusion and no people have to die any longer. That is a free choice aspect. We can choose not to die as we develop our strength of consciousness in this area. The first verse is Job chapter 7, and the saying of these verses helps us achieve that strength of consciousness. Kamalo Ishemimeni Lovarbeni Adiyuki. First Samuel chapter 23 verse 23. And the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo la nefa yomu ayo. And we're now going to read from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Shmini, section 9, the preserved wine, starting with Pasuk 83, and we will preface the Zohar with the L'shem Yehud, which is a paragraph that aligns our consciousness with that of the energy of unification. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urkimu Udchilu Le'achta L'shem Ko Yehuda V'Kol Yisrael. I did leave out one or two words, so please forgive me. Rabbi Yitzhak Patach Asher Chelev Zimchemo Yokelu Yishtu Yayin Nesicham Zakayin Inun Yisrael Dinun Kadishin V'kudsha Barichu Ba'e L'kadsha Alon Tachatzi Yisrael Kadishin Kol Chaye Alma Diartin Kol Atalyan Behahu Alma Piate Begin Dihu Chayin Kola Bikola Le'ela Vitata Wehu Atar Diayin Demin Tira Shari Umitaman Nafkin Chayin Uchdusha Lekola Weayin Di Israel Begin Yayin Di Israel Achara Beda Beda Talia Deha Yisrael Le'ela Be'yanatil Chayin Uvkich Ikre Etz Chayim Etz Mehahu Atar Tikre Chayim Winafke Mit Adman Chayim Bialda Mevarkin Leya Lekudsha Barichu V'yayin V'yayin Yisrael Letar Hai Galuna. Rabbi Yitzhak said, those that did eat the fat of their sacrifices. I'm getting some static, so I'm please asking everyone to change their controls. To press star 6, which mutes your phone. Feel free to continue to ask questions by pressing star 6 again, and then I will be able to hear you. Thank you. Those who did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offering, happy are Israel who are holy, as the Holy One, blessed be He, desires to sanctify them. Come and see, all the life of the world that the holy children of Israel inherit is derived from the world that is coming, which is Bina, for it is the source of all the living beings above and below, and the place where the preserved wine rests, namely the left column of Bina, from which life and holiness issues out to call, out to all. The wine of Israel below is holy on account of the wine of another Israel above, which is Zeranpin, and which receives the preserved wine from Bina. As mentioned above, one depends on the other, for the wine below depends on the wine above. For the supernal Israel, which is Zeranpin, derives life from the wine, namely the illumination of Chachmah, called living creature. Therefore it is called the tree of life, namely a tree taken from a place called life, from which life comes forth. Therefore they bless the Holy One, blessed be He, with wine. For the wine of Israel below is as the wine above. My commentary. This section is difficult for many people raised in the American value of equality to deal with. We will discuss this more at length below in this section. In this verse, the term being used by Rabbi Ashlag is illumination of Chachmah. Chachmah is wisdom. Illumination is revealment. When someone makes kiddush, which is a blessing on wine, one is manifesting the revelation of the wisdom one received during their prayer. The word kiddush comes from the shoresh dealing with holiness. Holiness is a right column aspect, just as chachmah. Wine is a left column aspect, since it gets people high, fulfilling their desires. When wine is pasteurized in our physical world, it is changed, which makes it no longer holy. Therefore, it is not considered as beneficial to be used as the Kiddush wine. Does anyone have any questions? Today's class is a beginning of a new class section. You can find the handout for this class. You can find the handout for this class on the Revealed Wisdom page of the Yeshem website. Scroll down to the matrix and then scroll down to row 17, the second column from the left. You'll see a link that says Children of Noach Laws. That's the link that will be the handout for today. The basis of these lessons uses a book that's titled The Path of the Righteous Gentile. The author, I didn't get a chance to look up his name, so I apologize for that. I will eventually do that. This is the introduction that comes from a blog by an evangelistic website called Native, which translates as The Path. I'm starting out with my initial commentary. The Hebrew language has two words that translate as pathway. One is mistranslated as law. That is the word halakha. The halakha is a path for the public. It is traveled by everyone who chooses to follow this path, as recommended by the Jewish sages and elucidated in the Talmud. We always need to remember that the Talmud was written by the tribe of Yehuda, which came to be called the Jewish people. But there are 11 other tribes interspersed and mixed with the nations. And their paths, their public paths, will be somewhat different than what the rabbis in the Talmud have taught us. The other Hebrew word for path is nativ. Nativ means a path traveled by one person alone. The Sefer Yetzirah uses the word nativ to teach a path of prophetic consciousness that is only available to each person individually. In this class, it is my intention to bring the Kabbalah systems of the nativ, the path of the Noahide who wishes to cleave to Hashem. The Kabbalah teaches that the children of Israel represent souls. That have achieved a certain level of tikkun, of correction. The negative aspects of these souls are connected to the children of Noah. The children of Israel inherited a desire to receive the goodness of the Creator from the patriarchs. The children of Noah did not inherit this easier path to become closer to the Creator. The Noahide can rise to a higher level through effort and learning from the children of Israel. In fact, the children of Noah represents the sparks of the endless vessel that fell deeper into the klipah, the negative consciousness, than the children of Israel did. This means they, the children of Noah, have a potential to rise above the children of Israel spiritually. This means that the children of Noah have the potential ultimately to reveal more of the light of Hashem. Since each aspect of the children of Noah needs to learn from each child of Israel, there is a need for both the sets of children together. This can only be done without coercion. This can only happen when the two sets of children grow closer together. The introduction. This book, The Path of the Righteous Gentile, summarizes the Torah's call to inform and guide the Gentiles, the descendants of Noah, through spiritual path in the world. Jewish readers will also be interested in learning about this little-known area of Jewish study. This is an aspect of the unification of the Creator. These seven laws of the children of Noah are the basic principles of civilized humanity. Terry. The Kabbalah teaches that there are 10 sephirot, 10 levels of spiritual consciousness. From the frame of the human being, the 10 are perceived as 7 lower sephirot and 3 higher above. Today, science theorizes that there are 10 dimensions associated with the string theory. 6 of these collapsed and 1 physical world. The Torah gives 7 recommendations to the children of Noah and 10 dibrot, sentences or utterances to the children of Israel. Included in the 10 utterances are the 7 recommendations. When it comes to Torah study, 613 mitzvot, included in the 10 utterances. The majority of these mitzvot are included in the 7 recommendations. There are only 2 areas that cannot be studied. It is recommended not to be studied by the children of Noah. These are the laws, the mitzvot associated with the kingship of Israel, and the service in the temple. The reason for this exclusion is that the requirement to be a Kohen, or a Levi, indicates a birthright which the children of Noah possess as of yet. This also applies to the king of Israel, which must be born to a mother of the tribes. Today, we do not know who has a mother born from the tribes, except for the tribe of Judah, which we call Jews today. In this book, commandment is used instead of the words recommendation and utterances and mitzvot. In my commentaries, I will try to remember to use the proper words. Please let us know in case we miss something. It is helpful for you to think of the proper word to substitute every time you see the word commandment. For the past 2,000 years, Christians and Muslims and every other religious group that has had the opportunity have been proselytizing to the Jews, telling them what their religious duty should be. The Jews, by contrast, have never actively sought converts to their own religion. Perhaps this is why few people realize that Judaism has something to say concerning the religious and ethical duties of the non-Jews in the world. My commentary. The Torah is not a book of ethics and morals, and thus the above is correct but corrupted. It is a statement of religion. All religions come out of two sources. One is the religion called Judaism, and the other is out of the religion called many gods. This is the source of the corruption. To understand the Torah, we need to understand the essence of the Torah, which is the mind of the Creator. Put in modern terms, the Torah are principles to explain and understand the transformation of spiritual energy into physicality. It is a book of physics and all other sciences, yet it is much more. At a minimum, the Torah describes energy changes and transformation and how to achieve them. The doctrine of the seven Noahide commandments brings the Jewish idea of unity to the world. In fact, the very idea of unity in religion originated with Judaism. Whoever has this concept, other than the Jews, got it from the Jews. This idea is taught by the Kabbalistic sage Maimonides in his book Mishneh Torah, The Laws of Idolatry. And when we speak of unity, we mean both the unity of God and the unity of mankind. The unity of God means true monotheism, and the unity of mankind means a world in which all people come and cleave to God in peace and harmony. And I am adding, included in the word unity is the idea that each person has his own perception of God. Some of these perceptions are similar to others' perceptions, yet each is unique. The phrase being used by me and others is unity with diversity. This can be understood from the idea of duality. The number two is not the number one, yet it is made up of the number one. All the religions of the world, other than Judaism, approach the idea of unity with the precept, believe as we believe, and the world will be one. This approach has never worked. I'm adding, this approach implies coercion and goes against a spiritual law, and thus can never work. Judaism approaches unity from an entirely different perspective. It teaches that there are two paths, not just one. Mishneh Torah, one path is yours. The other is mine. You travel yours, and I will travel mine. And herein will be found true unity. The one God is found on both paths, because the one God gave us both paths. The Noahide laws define the path that God gave to the non-Jewish peoples of the world. My commentary. Rabbi Ashlag, a Kabbalist of the 20th century, teaches this idea in a different way. There are two paths. Both paths lead to Hashem. One is a personal path of Torah study and observance, which leads to a living embodiment of Torah. The other is a personal path that leads to pain, suffering, and chaos. Eventually, that path leads to a realization that there must be a better way, and the person starts to search for Hashem, and eventually finds the Torah path. The choice, therefore, is a longer path of pain and suffering, or a shorter path of Torah. The seven Noahide commandments comprise the most ancient of all religious doctrines, for they were given to Adam, the first man, on the day of his creation. Wondrously, the seven Noahide commandments remain the newest and most uncharted of all religious doctrines. Humanity has managed to keep them new by ignoring them throughout history. But now, in these latter days, when the footsteps of the Messiah can be heard by all who will listen closely, the seven Noahide commandments must finally be learned and observed by all the people of all the nations. By choice, personal choice, never coercion. My commentary. The law used above is religious and not Kabbalistic. There is no must or laws. There is suggested recommendations that gives a person free choice. Of course, to not follow the recommendations leads one to the path of chaos. It's always free choice. That is the meaning of the phrase applied to Pharaoh in the Torah. Hardened his heart. When someone faces destruction and experiences the power of Hashem, he has lost his ability to be in a balance point in order to make a choice. Hardening someone's heart is a code word that brings the person back to the level of balance, where he is capable of making his free choice, even making the same mistake again and again, is his choice. Of course, eventually, even a monkey will type the 10 utterances. In other words, eventually the person will see the futility of his path and change it. The word commandment is a translation of the Hebrew word mitzvah, which also means connection. By observing God's commandments, a person becomes connected to God's infinite will and wisdom, and thereby elicits a godly light which shines onto his or her soul. This godly light is eternal, and in it the soul earns eternal reward. This is a teaching from the Likutei Torah by Rab Schnauer Zalman of Liadi. By observing the seven Noahide commandments, a Gentile fulfills his purpose of his creation and receives a share of the eternal world to come, the blessed spiritual world of the righteous. My commentary. The word Olam Haba is translated throughout Judaism as the world to come. It actually has the meaning of the world that is coming. Contemplate the difference, and you will realize that the world to come never arrives. It is always in the future, while the world that is coming is inevitable, no matter how long it takes. What do you think is the meaning of the word righteous? Kabbalah teaches that an action that is right is a righteous action. Right means, according to the situation, the right thing to do. It is not a logical decision, but an intuitive one. Logic is a tool that sometimes leads us to a right action, but many times does not. The hurdle that must be cleared in preparation for observing the seven Noahide commandments is the acceptance of the idea that mankind's way to the Father is through the oral tradition of Judaism, known as the Oral Torah. Rebellion against the sanctity and authority of Oral Torah has been with us since those first days in the wilderness of Sinai, when the followers of Korach led a revolt against absolute authority of Moses, as we learn in the book of Numbers. And they assembled themselves against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You assume too much, for the whole of the congregation are all of them holy, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then will you lift yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord?" In the end, God performed a great miracle to demonstrate his preference for the Mosaic authority. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them and their houses and all the men that were for Korach and all their wealth. And they went down, they and all who were for them, alive into the pit. And the earth closed over them and they disappeared from the midst of the nation. When God gave the Torah to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, all of the people accepted the written Torah willingly, but God had to lift the mountain over their heads and threaten to drop it on them to persuade them to accept the oral Torah. The oral tradition, which is primarily the Talmud and later codes of Jewish law, according to the rabbinic tradition, was revealed by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, then transmitted orally from father to son, teacher to student, throughout the ages. This is known as the Masorah, the heritage. If the Jews had difficulty in accepting the Oral Torah as no less divine than Scripture, how much more difficult must it be for the non-Jews? But accept the oral tradition, the rabbis referred to are those rabbis who themselves accept the authority of the Oral Torah. They must, for the source of understanding, the seven Noahide commandments is found in the Talmud and the later rabbinic teachings and nowhere else. My commentary. The Torah is alive and has a living consciousness, as taught in Kabbalah. The Torah is composed of three levels: the revealed level, which is the written scroll, the oral component, which was not supposed to be written down, since once it is in writing, it is stuck in cement, so to speak, and cannot change over the centuries. And it was written down in two places after the destruction of the temple. One is called Talmud Bavli, or the Babylonian Talmud, and one is called Talmud Yerushalayim, the Jerusalem Talmud. There are differences between them. Judaism follows, for the most part, the Talmud Bavli, since it was written in the diaspora for the diaspora. Here is the major criticism of those rabbis who do not follow the Oral Torah, as well as the written Torah. The written Torah tells us to wear tefillin, but does not tell us what it is or how to make them, or how to put them on and use them. Where are we to find out this and other how-to explanations, like what ritual to do on what holiday and how to declare the holidays? There are many other similar issues explained in the two Talmuds. Over the centuries, there have been interpretations of the Torah based on what is said in the Talmud, explaining the Torah, yet there have also been interpreters that reject these ideas in favor of a literal interpretation of the Torah. The only way for you to know what is right for you is to make your own study. The written Torah tells you to follow the teachings of the rabbis of your generation, yet today no rabbi has full command of all of the information available in the 10 levels of Torah. So, in my opinion, it is important to study these conflicting directions from various rabbis over the centuries in order to determine what is your truth and what is right for you to do. The author disagrees with me. You need to decide for yourself. This is a part of the tikkun of this generation, in my opinion. That is why we do not have a recognized leader of the generation. There is a second difficulty that arises in considering the seven Noahide commandments. It is seemingly a semantic problem, but it has profound implications. The Gentile as well as the Jew should relate to members of the non-Jewish nations of the world as Noahites, a strange new term. Seen as the children of Noah or Noahides, the Gentile nations at once have a unique and specific spiritual role in the world, one that is exceedingly exalted. The children of Noah are co-religionists with the children of Israel. Together they are peaceful partners striving to perfect the world and thereby give God pleasure and satisfaction. By viewing himself as a Noahide, the Gentile becomes like the Jew, in that he is a member of a people whose priesthood, not just his religion or nationality, is synonymous with its relationship to God. I am adding, essentially the children of Israel know Hashem as different from believing in Hashem. This statement, "I know Hashem," is very problematic for the children of Noah. The children of Israel have an innate knowing, while the children of Israel of Noah have no reference to this state until their study brings them to a higher level of consciousness. Our Kabbalistic sages refer to it as the Pintaliyid, the soul point of a Jew. At this time, the Path of the Righteous Gentile is the book that presents a framework of the divine code of the seven Noahide commandments in a practical form, albeit a limited and seminal one. For reasons explained in the first chapter, the historical overview, which will be our next class, Previous treatises on this subject were written by Jewish scholars for other Jewish scholars and were intended to remain theoretical and academic. The Path of the Righteous Gentile is a call to action for the Jew and the Gentile alike, the Israelite and the Noahide. And as Rabbi Tarfon said, the day is short, the task is considerable. The workers are lazy. The reward is great, and the boss is insistent. This is from the Perkei Avot, a section of the Talmud. Mm-hmm. It's translated as the Ethics of the Fathers or the Chapters of the Fathers. It all depends on us, which includes you. And so this introductory book about the seven laws of the children of Noah has been prepared. It is meant not as a document of final authority, but as a means by which people may become familiar with the subject and incorporate it within their lives. I am adding, the final authority for the Noahide must be their decision on who to follow along the path until they determine it is time to go their own way on a path that will be different from the various Jewish denominations. Within the Jewish denominations is a representative of the 12 tribes. That is the reason for the difference in approach to each denomination. This will be true for the children of Noah as well, since they are a representation of the 70 nations as defined in the written Torah. We hope and pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel will forgive any errors this work may contain, and that it will become an instrument for bringing all mankind closer to its Father in heaven. May his revealed presence soon dwell among us, and may we all say amen to this prayer.
Amen.
That's the end of the introductory class. It's a little short today. Are there any questions? I would appreciate
This is Ruby. I'm a little bit confused.
Okay.
Did the Torah not exist before the written tablets were given at Sinai?
No, the Torah existed before creation. The Zohar tells us that God played with the Torah for 2,000 years before creation. But what does 2,000 years mean when there's no sun and moon?
Okay.
So it's a metaphor, but understanding the Torah always existed. First there was the Creator. Then the Creator created an extension of himself called the endless world. The endless world, from our perspective, we can refer to it as light. We can refer to it as the Creator. But it's not the Creator. It's an extension of the Creator. And included in that extension was the Torah in potential form. It existed according to one of the Midrashes. It existed in the letters only. They were not words. But as the world was created, the letters formed into words to tell the story, which is a veil, a vessel, to hold the true essence, which we receive as the Zohar.
Okay. In the garden.
There are people who would disagree with that statement. Just understand, there are people who disagree with that statement about the Zohar. They perceive it as a commentary on the Torah. But the Kabbalists are, for them, the Zohar is the essence, the heart of the Torah.
Okay. Adam and Kava, they knew how to connect with the light. So they were connected with the Zohar, right? Am I correct in my thought process?
On one level, yes. On another level, no. The level of the physicality, the Zohar didn't exist, but they were also initially not on the level of physicality. So they did connect with the essence of the Torah because they were created by the Torah and the light by the name Hashem, the Torah. That's why the Torah says that in the plural form, we created man. It's the we. The Zohar gives us many different explanations of the we. Because it's very easy to misunderstand creation. When the Torah says we created man, there must be more than one God. God forbid. And this is how people make mistakes when they don't understand the codes that are built into the Zohar, and the only not built into the Torah. And the only way we can understand that is to have the Torah. Adam and Chava knew the Torah. They knew the Zohar. They knew all of those things. And the mistake that they made was not a mistake, because they wanted to shorten the process. They wanted to get it all over with. But that wasn't God's plan.
In their attempt to shorten the process, and with the error that they made, did they not put humanity on the course of chaos and suffering? And the reason why I ask that is that because you discussed like two different paths, the path of pain and suffering or the path of Zohar. And I'm saying from that point, when they made that error, did they not put humanity on a path of pain and suffering?
Yes, they chose the path of pain of suffering, which is the tree of knowledge, good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question.
Okay.
The Torah says that the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil are both in the center of the Garden of Eden. And it's the two trees are in the center of the Garden of Eden for the purpose of whoever is lowly or whoever is highly born, whatever that means in each generation and each society. Each person has the opportunity to connect to the trees. Now, do you tell me how physically or conceptually, spiritually, the two trees can be both in this exactly in the center of the garden?
Well, perhaps
they have to be right next to each other in one sense.
Perhaps they're just like the opposite of each other, but they're not necessarily bad. Perhaps it was light that they shouldn't have used. Not that it's either bad or good.
It's a question that I'll be happy. Ruby, I'll be happy to discuss it with you privately, because this is a discussion that each person needs to have within themselves, and then to share that with their teacher and their other student friends as they as they grow and evolve, because the consciousness of this answer will change as you rise spiritually.
Okay.
But let's get back to the question that is confusing you. Yes, Adam and Chava did choose a path that was led to chaos, except you can't say that it was Adam and Chava, because it was you. It was me. When we continue to choose the path of pain and suffering, unless we choose the path of Torah. In the path of Torah, you have to realize that it also leads to pain and suffering. But it's much shorter. When I say the path of Torah leads to pain and suffering, it's a different kind of pain and suffering. The path of Torah, on a physical level, appears to some people to be limiting, when in fact, it's freedom alone. But that consciousness has to be learned and has to be absorbed. So you can see many religious black hat Jewish people who go right out of the synagogue praying three times a day and run to their business and cheat and steal. How can you do this? Because we're in the process. On the two paths overlap. Not overlap, but they cross paths, so to speak. At times, the person on the single path of following what is right for them will find themselves in the public path. And at other times, the public path will become too broad for them and they have to retreat to the single path, or it will become too narrow. Even the public path becomes too narrow and they have to follow their own individual path. This is what unity with diversity is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? So as I was saying, I would hope that you will let me know whether you want to continue this subject, if you find it interesting or not.
I do.
Appreciate that. Other people can send me an email or a text and let me know what they think. The class Monday night at 7 o'clock will be on the letter Shin, the Hebrew letter Shin. Tuesday at 7 o'clock will be the 73rd class of Advanced Reincarnation. Wednesday at 7 o'clock will be our questions and answers. And please feel free to email me or text or come onto the conversation personally and ask your questions. Thursday at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class. And Saturday at 8 or 8:30, probably 8 o'clock Saturday, will be a Zohar class in the new week, the new parasha. And next Sunday, we will probably do the second of this class, unless there's an indication that people don't want to do it. Any other questions before I wish you a beautiful week? And remember to count the Omer. Remember, this is a negative period, that getting haircuts is not recommended. A negative period, that weddings are not performed. And the Kabbalists take these limitations to a greater extent by not signing contracts and not starting new ventures during this period, because they don't want to attach the energy of this period, which is not truly negative, except the vessel is not capable of handling the energy that's available in the cosmos. And that's what creates the chaos. Shalom to all.
Shalom and thank you.
Hello. Shalom.